This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Which is usually avoided in discussion. The Muslims don't like to talk about themselves. It's easy for them to talk about others. There are some Muslims who feel that if we simply establish an Islamic state, miraculously, if we just establish it somewhere, this will resolve the problems of the Muslims. And some of those same Muslims, they believe the way to establish an Islamic state is to elect a Khalifa. Just elect one. And if you elect a Khalifa, he will have some power, he will put things in order, he will establish a region, and that region will become a state, and therefore the Muslims will have something to relate to, they can migrate to, so forth and so on. These are wishes and hopes, and there is no paradigm that leads us there. And there is no evidence that simply because there is a region, and there's no evidence that seems to suggest that if there is a Khalifa, a body put back on their head, that this will solve our problems. Because I remind you and I remind myself that just 74 years ago, there was a Khalifa. And 100 years before that, there was a Khalifa. And there was what Muslims considered to be the heartland of Islam. Just 2 months ago, I visited that heartland, the home of the Khalifa. And let me tell you what I experienced there. I'm a Muslim, coming from the masjid, Maghrib, at night, from Tuscan Square in Istanbul. A Muslim, dressed as I'm dressing. The heart and homeland of Islam 70 years ago. The home of the Khilafah. What do I find? A young man approached me and he says to me, Ya Hajji, Assalamu Alaikum. Kallam Arabi? So this man has no beard. He's dressed in tight jeans. He's calling me Hajji. And do I speak Arabic? So I speak English to him. What do you need? What do you want? He didn't even say Assalamu Alaikum. What do you need and what do you want? He excuses himself and then he speaks English to me. Once he finds out I speak English, he said, would you like to have sex? I tell him, no, I'm not interested in that. He said, I have beautiful girls or I have boys. Or I have animals. He called me Haji first. Asked me if I speak Arabic next. Passed right beyond the fact that I told him. Then he spoke English and went to his business. This is the home of the Khilafah. This didn't happen one night, but every single night that I left my hotel room, going to the masjid, coming back. And the adhan is called at Masjid Sophia, at the Blue Masjid, at Mamluk Masjid, all over beautiful masajids. Who do you find in the masjid? The imam and 5 or 10 worshippers. That's it. Nobody praised. Maybe one person out of 1,000 people pray at the home of the Khilafah. Did that happen in the last 70 years? No, it didn't. It happened over a period of time, this corruption, this deference of Islam. It happened long before the head was decapitated off the body. The body was already constipated, cancerous already. And this body has not repaired itself. It's not even prepared for a head. Now this is the truth of our condition. Now I want to talk about how our condition has come to be what it is. From the enemy within. Because if we don't correct it from within, don't think you're going to correct something from outside. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm going to bypass the Arabic just for the sake of the audience here. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to his companions one day a lesson. He said to them, a time will come when the nations of the world will gather themselves together and call each other to consume you, like a group of hungry people would gather around a plate of food when it is put in their midst. And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ thought that it would be because they were in the minority. So they asked, O Messenger of Allah ﷺ, will this be because we were in the minority? He said, no. On the contrary, you will be at that time in the majority. What are we today? 1.2 billion Muslims in the world, representing one out of every five human beings on the earth. Are we in the majority as a religious group? Definitely. Sadaqa Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he said, your enemies, our enemies, will have no respect for us. Is this the case? No respect. They choose. The powers, they get together and they choose in their back rooms. What do we want today? Let's take Somalia. Let's take Afghanistan. Let's take this one, let's take that one. What do they have to offer us? They got raw minerals. They got natural resources. They got a logistic geography. They got this, they got that, and we want it. Let's take it. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said, with no regard to who those people are, no regard to what power, what religion, or anything they represent, because they are part of the infected body that has been decapitated. And the Muslim leaders of today have agreed not to put the body back on the head. They have already agreed. It's already signed. The Khilafah will not come back. But this is not the main issue. The main issue is what the Prophet ﷺ said, what has happened. Your enemies will have no respect of you, and your substance, the substance of your body, will be no more than the bubbles and the trash that the ocean brings onto the shore and leaves when it goes back out. Now, any one of you who have lived near the ocean, you know exactly what it means. When the wave comes in and goes back out, it leaves trash, bubbles, and scum on the shore. The Prophet ﷺ said, this will be the substance of the Muslims at that time. Is that what it is today? That is exactly our condition. Why? Because of the enemy within. He went on, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, besides this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strike in your hearts wahin. And they asked him, because this is an unusual word in the Arabic language, they didn't know what it meant. He said, the meaning of it is hubb ad-dunya wa karahiyatul maut. Inordinate attachment and preoccupation with the dunya, and a deference and being afraid of dying. This is our condition. While some few Muslims are putting their lives on the line and dying, the majority of the Muslims are filling their bellies, filling their houses, filling their bank accounts, and using the excuse of their attachment, preoccupation with the dunya. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, what I want to speak about tonight is another enemy that, in my estimation, is equal, if not greater, in its threat and impact upon the Muslims. A threat and an enemy which is usually avoided in discussion and which is sometimes veiled by other emotional issues. This enemy works from within the ummah, and therefore its influence is double-edged. And it has created a psychosis among the Muslims. And for those of you who study psychology, you understand that psychosis means an inordinate human behavior that does not allow us to act in a natural way. Psychosis. It's a madness. It's a mental disease. And if it's not treated, it becomes more and more complex and more difficult to treat. One, it serves to aggravate and distort the relationship between Muslims. That's the first thing it does, this psychosis. So that you find in a university like this, this behavior, this inordinate behavior, this psychosis, what does it do? A small body of Muslims are here, but I'll guarantee you they are probably representative of at least 6 or 7 different groups, at least. 6 or 7 different groups of Muslims that don't even really like to pray together. 6 or 7 different groups that try to draw on the same resources that the university offers for the Muslims. 6 or 7 different groups of Muslims who at times don't even want to say salam to each other passing through the hallways. 6 or 7 groups who feel that their ideological, sociological, religious understanding of Islam or situation is more righteous and correct than the others. And 6 or 7 different groups who themselves do not want to come under any single leadership. This is a psychosis. This is a severe psychosis. That's one side of the blade. The other side of the blade is that it serves to distort and undermine the Islamic message and the image of the Muslims. Double-edged sword. So the enemy from within does more damage for us and to us than the enemies outside. This enemy has several faces and features of which I want to talk a little bit about. The first of which is lack of knowledge. Any kind of ignorance that prevails, it is because of lack of knowledge first. Even when an individual, in the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a group emerged, and that group, their understanding or their misunderstanding or their misapplication of some of the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they emerged and they began calling others kafirs. First, there was a disagreement.